Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, it's all good.
Okay, but what a night you saw. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you tweeted or put on Facebook it was you're looking forward to the second biggest night of the year at Menangle. That's the way you viewed it?
Well, I think obviously there's two Group 1s and a Group 2, but then you get to see the star-studded lineups in the Oaks and the Derby. So you're seeing the very best three-year-olds contesting heats. And then you've got the support program, all the intrigue surrounding what could happen in the Miracle Mile as to who gets in. So it becomes a terrific race. They clearly next week, six Group 1s, it's just a huge night. It's the grand final. And my other favourite race day, of course, is the Breeders' Challenge race day, where we see the young horses strut their stuff in the Len Smith Mile. But I do think in terms of what we see on show in terms of horse flesh, it just becomes one of the top nights of racing at Menangle from right through the year.
Well, and one of those, of course, involved the great Tiger Tara.
He's about to let go here on the Tiger as they swing the final bend, 26.9. He really ups the ante now, and Tiger Tara first to see the judge. Ashley Locas second, Maxi Man behind them. Winding up down the outside was Cash and Flow, and now the Fixer coming on with a big burst. Tiger Tara needs to lift 100 to go. The Fixer's inch by inch cutting back the margin. The Fixer levels up. Tiger Tara kicks the Fixer, put the nose in front, the Fixer. The Fixer has beaten Tiger Tara. Cameras for 30.
Well, there we go. The Fixer beat the Tiger. Did you think Tiger was home?
Well, look, he went very slow sections, Kev, and some, astute judges said maybe he went too slow in front and allowed a horse like the Fixer, who possesses a great turn of foot at the back end, to ping him. And I suppose there was only about a head or so in it at the end of the race, but it was a terrific race. When Tiger Tara rolled through that 26, sub-27 split that third quarter, I wondered then whether anything could run it down, but in the end it was the Fixer. And I know someone who's a huge fan of the Fixer is Mick Gearan. He was trackside last night in a variety of capacities. Mick, the All-Stars, they certainly rise to the top when the chips are down.
Yeah, good morning, Fred. Good morning to you, Kevin. Big hello to all your listeners. But they needed to be honest, Fred. It's been quite a slow summer in Australia by their standards. They were on the roller coaster last night with a lot of highs and a couple of lows. Some of those highs obviously would be both preludes of the Miracle Mile with the Fixer and Spankin. They also had wins with Chase Auckland, who snuck his way into the Miracle Mile field. And of course, later on, Princess Tiffany was outstanding. But what many of our listeners will not know is that after the races, it was determined by the stewards that Natalie Rasmussen be suspended for 8 weeks. So Natalie suspended for 8 weeks for her drive on Chase Auckland this Saturday before in the Chariots of Fire. I'll be perfectly honest, I thought the 8 weeks was very severe. It was more of a tactical error than any malice in the drive. She pulled to the outside of a horse in the home straight. That horse drifted out, a gap appeared on the inside, and by the time she got down to the gap, it was too late. I don't think Chase Auckland would have won, but long story short, Natalie Rasmussen has an 8-week suspension. The flip side to that is, that suspension is deferred because of driving engagements already put in, and she's deferred it till the Monday. So she can drive Miracle Mile night. Natalie Rasmussen will drive the Fixer in the Miracle Mile next week, who, Fred, I wouldn't be surprised if the rally of money came and pushed him close to favourite for Tab Punters, because it's only 20 cents between him and Poster Boy at the moment. So Natalie will be driving him in the Miracle Mile. Mark Purden will drive Spankin, and Luke McCarthy will drive Chase Auckland in the Great Race.
Well, he's had a good association with Chase Auckland, Luke. He drove him to victory about 3 weeks ago. Terrific races it panned out. The Fixer just had the right run. A lot of good judges on the night, Nick, thought maybe Tiger Tara, that early half, set it up for him to run home some quick times, which he did. But he had a horse called the Fixer, who's probably one of the best point-to-point speedsters in the game. He was just too close.
I think, Fred, over the course of this remarkable summer that Tiger Tara has had, his lead-up races haven't tended to be good as his grand finals. His grand finals being the Victoria Cup, the Hunter Cup, and Enter the Dominion. He's been outstanding in all three. In those cases, he actually hasn't gone remarkably hard in those races. He's tended to wind up his speed and therefore if the horse is coming wide on that track or in trouble. That might be the case next week, but the question is he even able to lead it next week? Those three races we mentioned, he led every time. I'm not entirely sure he has a blazing gate speed he needs to get across these horses, and I'm not entirely sure the York Stars, who have three horses drawn inside him, Fred, will have an appetite to hand up. What could really determine the race for Tiger Tara is the Shane Tritton trained horses. If the Tritton horses can get off the gate quick enough that either Yaya's Hotspot or My Alpha Rock can lead Fred, well, they would be handing up. I'll bet there's no doubt for Tiger Tara. But whether they can get there is the big question, because as great a horse as Tiger Tara has become, Fred, he can't attack them in the Miracle Mile. He's 100-1 to do that.
Yeah. Well, he's. We'll just take our listeners through the barrier draw post. The boy came up with the one marble. The Fixer in two. Chase Auckland three. Yaya's Hotspot in four. Oh, Uncle Sam, who's the first emergency, drew five. My Alpha Rock six. Spankham in seven. Tiger Tara got barrier eight, so he'll come out of seven with scratchings. Myfield Marshall has drawn the outside, and Cruz Bromac number 10, the second emergency. We mentioned Spankham. It was impressive last night. Here's how I saw the Canadian Club.
500 metres left to go. Spankham is the leader. On the outside, our Uncle Sam, My Alpha Rock. Myfield Marshall takes off and works around the outside of Cruz Bromac, who came out ahead of him. That forces Myfield Marshall very deep, and then came Elmer's Images. They flatten in. The leader is Spankham. On the outside, trying to unleash a big run now is Cruz Bromac with Myfield Marshall. Our Uncle Sam, My Alpha Rock, but Spankham stole a march. Leads by a length. Cruz Bromac is out after it. On the inside is My Alpha Rock, but it's Spankham. Spankham wins it. Photo second and third, and it's a tight one. On the inside, My Alpha Rock, and on the outside...
Yeah, so My Alpha Rock got that verdict, and importantly, because it ran second, and it was only, I think, for memory, a half-header, a nose, it got into the Miracle Mile, giving the Trittons two. They've got a great record of qualifying horses, Mick, the Tritton barn into Miracle Mile. They'll be hoping to crack one soon.
Look, they do have a great record, Fred, but they're both going to be close to 100-1. They're the two horses who, look, qualifying is the job, and that's what Shane and Lauren have done. Lauren will drive, of course, My Alpha Rock, and Lachlan Menzelman will drive Yaya's Hotspot, but yeah, they're
100-1, Mick, but like you just said, potentially they could really play a real hand in how the race unfolds.
100% they could, Fred. And I had, look, had a really good talk with Tim Butt, who drew the outside, the defending champion, Myfield Marshall, and he said, look, we just can't go back. We've got to go forward too. So it's not a particularly quick front line as Menangle front lines go, because, of course, Major Dan, who scored up as favourite in that race, did gallop. He's one of the faster gate speed horses in New South Wales, but he's out of the Miracle Mile because he galloped. So it was a rear bad night at the office for Kevin Pizzuto, so he's out of the way. Intriguing who's going to lead this race. I can see a lot of market bouncing around this week because I think punters are going to struggle to find their mark on Tiger Tara. And if there's some positive talk and indications and people talking about handing up later in the week, yeah, the money might come for him. I think on the night the tote money will come for Tiger Tara because of the brand recognition. People know the name of the horse, but I still can't work out whether he can lead.
The Spankham lead? I mean, show the
speed. He's a chance to, Fred.
So where does that put Poster Boy, Mick? I mean, he potentially could be buried away on the inside. Has he got enough speed to hold the inside and get leaders back?
I had a really good talk to Chris Alford about that. He sounded not thrilled, would be the best way I put it, about the one. He wasn't disappointed. He just said, look, I don't know what to do, which was a very frank admission, because from barrier one, he probably doesn't want to try and lead all the way and have Tiger Tara giving him a headache on the outside. But if he does take a trail, do you take a trail on the right horse? Now, the two obvious horses are the Fixer and Tiger Tara. They are horses who have won between them a lot of very big races this season. I think people probably don't or do underestimate is the Fixer's gate speed. He came out of the gate very strongly last night. In fact, as quick as Tiger Tara, he just couldn't cross him for obvious reasons. But for barrier two, I think he's a very realistic chance of holding the lead. Now, that pits Poster Boy in trail, and that makes Poster Boy at least as good a winning chance as the leader and potentially the best chance in the race. So yep, I think Poster Boy gets his chance, but that's from the trail. Fred, as you know, if you're a sleeve on the inside, it becomes a completely different race.
Just on the Miracle Mile market, we'll just rip through that before we look at some of the other races. Poster Boy, in fact, betting suspended, but he did go up at around, from memory, about 3.40, I think it was, and the fixer was only about 20 or 30 cents beyond it. But I just checked the market a minute ago, and it's suspended, so I don't have that there. But as far as the other races go, we saw some amazing performances by the three-year-old. Mick, just your thoughts. I mean, you've been to many, many, many Miracle Mile carnivals over the years, and I did actually say that I did think, you know, the qualifier night heats of the Derby and Oaks is amongst the very best of the racing in Australasia through the course of the calendar year. What are your thoughts on that?
It's very special, Fred, because it brings together horses from New Zealand, New South Wales, and obviously Victoria, and occasionally horses from Queensland. And I think that's special. I think the Victorian Carnival too much favours the New Zealand horses traditionally, even though Muscle Factory won the Derby this year. Yeah. I think the New Zealand horses are coming off better preparations heading into Victoria. By the time they get here, I think all the horses have had enough racing that they're honed down, fit, and they're mentally tough enough, and it brings out the best of them. The big track, 2,400 metres, the proper Derby and distance race and Oaks race, I think they're outstanding Derbies and Oaks. Those barrier draws were done this morning, Fred. The barrier draws are out for the Derby, for the Oaks, and for the Lady to file. They're actually on my phone in my Hotmail, which I was reading when you were talking.
Well, I've got them up here, Mick. I can whip through the Oaks. Miss Streisand came up with one. Lady Rock and Roller, two. Our Road to Mecca, three. Miss Halfpenny Emergency, one has drawn four. Arabella Star, five. Our Princess Tiffany, one of the most dynamic performances off the speed to win last night, has drawn six. Two Times Better, Second Emergency, seven. And then we've got Cheesy Fingers, eight. Enchanted Stride, nine. Tangoing with Sierra, who was impressive, barrier 10. Kualoa draws 11. And a Swimsuit Edition, barrier 12. Kualoa has drawn, in contrast to our Princess Tiffany, pretty poorly there. She was fantastic last night, Princess Tiffany.
Yeah, and it was always, it's going to be a two-horse race. It was going to be the second most two horses turn up in the heats. Kualoa, big and strong. Our Princess Tiffany, outstandingly fast. I think our Princess Tiffany was just too quick for Kualoa in the Breeders' Crown. Melton back in August, I think that'll be the case again after what I saw last night. And with those barrier draws, she has all the options, and she's the one to beat. Fred, in the draws for the Derby, Centenario gets barrier 2, Muscle Factory gets barrier 3. That starts to look an awful lot of fun, but I'm going to go for the big horse from Victoria over the little horse from New South Wales. I want Centenario to look very, very at home around Menangle last night.
Sure did. And the Ladyship Mile has come up with Icy Diamonds, the second emergency, one. Our Dream About Me, two. Arts Treasure, three. Bridget Blue Chip, four. Soho Burning Love, five. Carlos Pixel, six. Major Occasion, seven. Cherry Stride, eight. Makes Every Sense, emergency, one, has drawn the nine. Then you've got Village, which Share the Road, and the deepest, Tell Me Tales.
Yeah, it's going to change the market. Tell Me Tales, outstanding winning last night at 149.3, but no one likes backing horses from the outside of the gate at an angle. She could struggle from there. Dream About Me might go close to starting favourite, but I'm not sure she probably deserves to do so after last night. I thought she's lost an inch of her high-end speed. Carlos Pixel becomes a horse who can definitely win, sitting close to the pace. But, yeah, that's a real blow for Tell Me Tales. Team Emma Stewart had a good run with barrier draws earlier into the heat. Poster Boy's obviously drawn on the Miracle Mile. Centenario's drawn well. But they've copped a couple of real blows there with Kualoa and Tell Me Tales. So not good news for the girls from the Stewart team.
Ladyship Mile, you're sticking with Dream About Me?
Look, I backed Tell Me Tales last night. The one horse I wanted to make sure I got on Sky and said the punters don't back was Dream About Me. I just didn't like it. But from barrier two, she's got a lot of favours there. But Carlos Pixel can win this thread. A lot's going to depend now on what they do early. If Dream About Me can lead, she becomes the horse to beat. But she's not a naturally high gate speed horse. I think I'll have a couple of looks at that one.
That's the case with most of these. I mean, the Miracle Mile, this barrier draw has just really thrown it. It's you know, I'm not going to even ask you at this stage who you're tipping because, you know, there's a lot of form study to be done. But Gee, Tiger Tara, it'll be a grand slam of sorts, won't it? If he can win the Miracle Mile, it'll be the Victoria Cup, Inter-Dominion, Hunter Cup and Miracle Mile in the one season. An amazing effort if he can do it, but it's up, he's up against it, Mick.
I don't think he's a natural mile for it either. I mean, look, he'll get his chance next week, but I just don't see him leading in this Miracle Mile. And to be honest, when he's won those other three big races, he was able to lead in all of them. I don't see him leading this week, so it's going to be a massive build-up. There'll be a lot of talk. As I said, we do have that factor of Victoria versus New Zealand versus New South Wales. I'm really looking forward to it. By the way, Terry Kennedy and Laurie Daly will be at Menangle for the big sports breakfast from 5.30 to 9 on Thursday. So 5.30 to 9 on Thursday, I'll be talking to some of the participants and catching up with some of the atmosphere from Menangle as the Sky Team get behind this Miracle Mile Carnival and countdown to the big night on Saturday night. So with those barrier draws you just read out, Fred, I'm thinking the boys at the tab will dust themselves off at some stage today. And, well, 1 or 2 o'clock this afternoon, I think we'll have some markets up for all those races before they suspended the betting this morning. It was Poster Boy 3.6,
right,
the Fixer at 3.8.
There it was, 3.63. I thought it was somewhere around the 3.20, 3.40, but it was better than that. I don't know how we'll fare getting those sort of odds as the week unfolds. So, Mick, great to talk to you as always. And you'll be, of course, part of the Sky team as we launch into what is the biggest night of harness racing in Sydney Town next week.
Fred, always a pleasure, mate. And good luck to all the listeners this week if they're having a play over the big carnival. And, Fred, try and get home in one piece next week. Because it's two and a half hours is a long time on the M5.
Oh, it was a scary place to be where I ended up pulling over, but we won't go there. There was some funny business going on.
There's no shortage of coppers on the M5, I'll give you that much anyway.
Unfortunately, I was on the M7 by the time it decided to play up. But, I saw some interesting sights, but we'll save that for another show.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks, Kevin. I wish you guys have a great week and a great build-up to the Miracle Mile.
Good on you, Mick. All the best. Mick Guerin there, and he'll be a part of the Sky Racing team through the week, and you'll hear his thoughts, no doubt. And, Kev, it was a great night of racing. Just before I let you go, the big APG yearling sale is happening next week, and they've got a pretty unique thing happening Friday at the Riverside William Inglis complex. They're parading all the yearlings that'll be going under the hammer next Friday from 7 o'clock. John Tapp will be the MC. Big night there at Inglis, and you get a chance to have a look at these yearlings parade, and I think that's a terrific concept. So that'll be happening next Friday. I just thought I'd mention that because the harness breeders, they're doing a great job to promote this sale.
Lovely. Well done, Fred. You can take the rest of the day off.
Oh, thank you. Will do.
And we'll catch up with you during the week. Thank you, mate.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Fred Hastings there, and good stuff, isn't it? What a great time of year with it is across all codes with the greyhounds and the harness and the gallops. It's just the very best are on display all the time. It's fantastic. 13 to 11, we are talking now greyhound racing. Michael Cowley from Greyhound Racing New South Wales with us. Mick, good morning.
Good morning, Kev. How are you, mate?
I'm well. And, gee, what a night we had last night. I know we had no Wentworth Park. We'll talk about that shortly. But I guess we should start by going through the Australia Cup heats and the box draw. And what were your overall impressions of what you saw last night?
Man, I loved it. It's great. It's similar to Million Dollar Chase Melbourne Cup, that sort of thing, where you've got 8 heats and only the winner gets through. And it's knife-edge stuff. And the reality with some of these events is that a lot of good dogs don't get through. And last night, Poke the Bear, Orson Allen, Baruga Brett, last year's winner, Hecton Bale, none of those got through. But it's fantastic racing and some fantastic dogs in the final. It'll be a beauty next Saturday. As you said, Kev, you've got Winx going around next Saturday. You've got the Miracle Mile, and you've got the Australian Cup and the Superstars. Fantastic day of racing.
Look, you mentioned Poke the Bear. Looking at the replay quite a few times, the start is where the race was won or lost, wasn't it? Miss Lendemiro went bang. Poke the Bear was caught up, and gee whiz, he did well to almost get there, but he missed out. Here's the replay. Miss Lendemiro.
Racing, Poke the Bear a little bit scared of again. Speed there from Miss Flendemiro at the centre is going to burn them off early. And Lee going to the first turn. And Miss Flendemiro got away to the back straight, leading by about two or three lengths to Fabric. Given the race, Poke the Bear strung up in traffic back on the field and down the back. And Miss Flendemiro led by 2, Fabric second. 6 lengths away, then came Peyton. Poke the Bear's out and clear, 10 off the lead though. Followed by Southern Rebel, then came Go See Fernando. Turning for home, Miss Flendemiro the leader. In second spot, Fabric, Poke the Bear flying at the end, too late. Miss Guanamero beat Poke the Bear. Peyton and Fabwick, and behind them then came Southern Ripple, followed further back here by Hey Fernando.
So there we go. Poke the Bear is one of the reserves, but it's almost a shame he probably won't be there.
It's true. I guess that's the nature of the beast, so to speak. Yeah. He does get back in the field. He does need a bit of luck. If he does get clear air, he flies home, as we saw, you know, recent starts, including last night. But as you mentioned, Kev, Miss Splendor Mirror, she was off and gone, and that was the end of the section. Dogs that do jump, they can get away, they can run their own race and not have to worry about trouble that goes on behind them. That's quite often the case in greyhound racing, and it was the case of Miss Splendor Mirror last night. And she's going to be a great chance in the final of winning another big one. David Gill, our trainer, obviously Miss Splendor Mirror is still owned in New South Wales, but David's now looking after her. And Dave's got two runners in the final. He also qualified My Redeemer, the Melbourne Cup winner. It was another great performance last night. And My Redeemer's looking to become just the fourth greyhound in the 60-year history of the Australian Cup and the Melbourne Cup as well to complete that Melbourne Cup-Australian Cup double. The last one to do it was Dinah Double One back in 2016. He has to go back to 1980 for Tangaloa before that, and then way back to 58 for Rookie Rebel, the first one to do it, and in the first year of the Australian Cup in 58. So whilst Poke the Bear missed out for the Thompsons, Jason and Sienna Thompson, they did get a couple of runners through to the final. They've managed to get the very promising youngster, Black Opium. It took out the first heat in 29.91 last night. That took its record to 11 wins from 15 starts. It's potentially a real superstar. It's still young. It's still learning. And this is its biggest test to date. And the Thompsons also got through Rookie Rebel winner from last week, Deliver. Stepped back from 600 back to the 500 and got the job done. And, of course, it's already won a couple of Group 1s, the Rookie Rebel and the Vic Peters in Sydney late last year. So it was. You know, they ran 29.70 and 29.91, respectively. So no, there's a couple there. Another trainer to get two through. It seemed to be the trend last night was Andrea Daly. Andrea, of course, yeah, did train Dinah Double One, and she qualified both Dinah Paddy, who was impressive, clocking the second fastest time at 29.66, and Dinah Oscar, who got home over some more fancy rivals in 29.94. So that's six of the eight. The other two, former New South Wales steward Deb Coleman, moved to Melbourne, training dogs, and she's gifted absolutely flying, absolutely flying. Didn't run sizzling time last night, ran 30 and 36, but got into the final, and that's what it's all about. And of course, she's gifted, competed well in the Million Dollar Chase Series back in October, and then stepped up to real elite company and finished third behind My Redeemer in the Melbourne Cup. So, yeah, she's looking to take another step forward. But the surprise packet, Kev, was in the last heat of the night. Queenslander, trained by Darren Russell, Bago Bye Bye, just jumped, flew out of the eight, opened up a big lead and just kept running and ended up clocking 29.53, which was the fastest of the eight heats, and ran home in a stunning 11.78, which dogs just don't do at the Meadows. So, again... fantastic final. The box draw of that will be done at a special function tomorrow. And it'll make things very interesting. I can't wait to see the draw and then the market. Then we'll work out which way we go, Kev.
Well, Mick, there is an all-in market tabs put up, and you've got Bago Bye Bye, Deliver and Poke the Bear all at $4 at this stage favourites, and Poke the Bear's not even in the race. So there we go. Then you've got Dinah Patty, Miss Splendor Miro, My Redeemer all at $5.50. You got Black Opium at $6.50, She's Gifted, Shima Breeze at $15, Dinah Oscar at $26. So if you're prepared to take a punt on the all-in market, there's some decent value there, isn't there?
Absolutely. Yeah, I personally, not with greyhounds because I'm not allowed to, but with all-in markets, I love taking a punt on them. You love to take the overs and then hope that you get a good barrier or a good box or wherever it may be. And look, as you said, Kev, there's a lot of value there.
Jeez, I'd reckon.
Miss Splendor Mirror, for instance, I know she's a personal favourite, but yeah, she's good value if she happens to come up with a 1, 2 or a 3.
Yeah, $5.50 is a really good price.
Absolutely. So, no, it'll be an intriguing night next Saturday night. And of course, it's not just the sprinters. We've got the superstars as well. Another Group 1, I think that's worth 100 to the winner. It's going to be hard to beat Tornado Tears, judging by his two runs back from injury, two runs in 6 months, and he's just absolutely flying. last night's performance, absolutely brilliant.
1:35, Tornado Tears in box two set. Racing. And Tornado Tears first to begin to the inside out. The hurry there, Taken King. It's Taken King, the outside, and Tornado Tears up and around the outside. Then came Book of Luck, followed by Veloci Nero. Two lengths away, then came Canley Jet. Racing well back of the race would have been Double G, followed by Boom Down. And five lengths, Rip and Sam out of the straight. And Taken King, the leader. It's Taken King, two in front. Tornado Tears in pursuit down the back straight. And then came Veloci Nero to third, followed by Book of Luck. And then came Canley Jet over on the inside. Double G, followed by Boom Down. And tailed off as Ripple Sam coming up the back straight. Tornado Tears burst to the lead. Look at the champ go. He accelerated on the turn. Shot cleared out. Overtaken King of Legionero. Tornado Tears in a breeze. Second and Double G, followed then by Boom Down. Behind them then would have been...
Yes, looking at the race, it was like Tornado Tears just went, you know what, I've had enough of this. Time to just sort of show them what it's all about. And went bang.
It was exactly like that. It was almost playing with them, just sticking with them, heading up the back straight, and then went, okay, I've had enough of this, away you go. And it looked early on as though the time would be nothing flash, but once he put the foot down, it was incredible. I ended up being a PB, the fastest time Tornado Tears ever gone around the meadows over that 700, went 41.96, which is only a half a length off the track record, which is ironically held by Space Star, which is an uncle of Tornado Tears. So, maybe with a bit of clear running, jump straight to the front, that time could get a bit of a nudge next Saturday night, I reckon, Kev.
Well, we do have a market available here, and do you want to go through the box draw? I've got the market here.
Unlike the Australian Cup, where New South Wales really haven't had a lot of luck, we got a few qualifiers through to the Superstayers. The other two heats were won by New South Wales dog, Blue Moon Rising, and Ebby Ripper, and we also got Poco Dorado through. So the box draw for that is the Queenslander Double G's got one, Poco Dorado two, Boom Down three, Black Impala four, Champ Tornado Tears in five, Hot Tip in six, Blue Moon Rising in seven, and Ebby Ripper out in the eight.
All righty, with Tab Double G in the one, is at $7, Poco Dorado seven, Boom Down 34, Black Impala 18, Tornado Tears $1.30, which is shorter than what it was last night. Hot Tip is 51, Blue Moon Rising at 10, Ebby Ripper at 18, two reserves there, Pepper Tide 51, Taken King at 51. So it's $1.30 about Tornado Tears. The only other two in single figures there are Double G and Poco Dorado.
And as they always say, odds on, look on, but they also say it's better than bank interest, Kev.
Yeah, yes,
$1.30, considering the way that Tornado Tears is flying, and the two runs back, you'd be cherry ripe next week, you'd imagine. $1.30 actually doesn't look as bad as it sounds.
No, that's true. It would look pretty good in the multi as well if you wanted to go that way.
Although with multis, we always tend to have one problem with multis. There's always one leg that stumps us.
Funny that.
I know, ironic.
Let's head north from the meadows last night. We had the Bulleye Cup last night as well. And here's Kel's call of how that one went.
Racing. Catch Me Curly, a little slow and nervous and weird, won the hop. Black Forge is right there with Hardaway Harada there, followed then by Major Riot. Coursing deep then was Feral Frankie, and they were followed then by Pindari Express. Well back, Double Tax coming to the corner, nervous and weird in front. Black Forge is trying hard up and around the outside. Here comes Pindari. It's nervous and weird in front from Black Forge, and Pindari Express over the top. He's got him. Pindari Express has won it from nervous and weird.
There we go. How did you see Pindari Express the win last night?
And it was a good win. Obviously, slow again to start, but that kind of helped him. He stayed out of trouble. He hooked to the outside, and then from swinging from home, he just powered away. Very impressive. Ran good time as well, 29.16. Just imagine what it'd be like if he jumped and ran along. He'd be running some amazing times. But, yeah, it was good to see $40,000 to the winner. Good to see him finally grab a group race, a group two race. And I know that his trainer, Tracy Screws, has mentioned that potentially the Easter egg could be a way to go. He has trialled in sub-30 at Wentworth Park before, but it would be good to see. I think next on the agenda will probably be the Maitland Cup, because he does go well at Maitland, and that's towards the end of next month, and I'd say then they'll probably look towards the Easter egg, which is, I think, heats on April the 6th, Kev. So there's a fair bit on the schedule for Pindari Express, and hopefully he stays sound and gets to race against some of the good dogs, the really good dogs in those big races.
So, Mick, you mentioned the Easter egg. What happened with Wenty last night? We had no racing. It was abandoned pretty early on in the afternoon.
Yeah, it was just a case of the Wenty's Wednesday meeting. They they rescheduled to Bulleye because they just want to do some work on the track, obviously with the Easter egg coming up and also our Friday Night Lights series, which I'll mention shortly. Unfortunately, you know, had a bit of rain during the week, and then we had a bit of rain yesterday morning through the day yesterday. As I said, I got the call early to mid-afternoon saying that the decision had been made to abandon Wentworth Park. A bit unfortunate, but unfortunately, these are the sorts of things.